Well, I want to demystify that it should be complicated. It's something that we can't do. It's only something that other people can do. It's as basic as drinking water, moving, simple plants we find in the garden. So that, I mean, of course, I'd like people to come to consultation if it gets complicated. But on a daily basis, there's so many things we can do, which go a long way to keeping us healthy.
Hello and welcome to It's a Journey podcast. How are you healing today? Your host, Stephanie Naidu, welcomes guests from different parts of the globe with professional expertise in health and holistic wellness. Holistic means physical, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being. So what do all of our guests have in common? It's their dedication to help us with our healing journey and personal development. Let's dive into this new episode with our special guest and explore the answers in order to continue our personal journey's exploration towards healing and self-love.
Debra started out as a teacher and had a long career in international education in a number of senior management roles. Most of the time, she loved her job. She had the opportunity to travel the world and experience different cultures and meet different people. Then one day, she simply woke up and realized that this life was no longer for her. She needed to do something which was more aligned with her personal values and convictions. Debra had always been interested in natural approaches to health and well-being, and so she made the decision to become a qualified practicing naturopath. She left her job and went on to study naturopathy in Paris, immersing herself into a rigorous 3-year course and studying over 30 subjects, including anatomy, nutrition, and pathology. Today, Debra has a practice in the south of France. Her consultations are in French and in English. Above all, she loves what she does. In this 21st episode, I will be talking to Debra about naturopathy. Our topic today is renewal and wellness, naturopathy and seasonal insights. Hello, Debra. It's such a pleasure to have you today on my podcast. It's a journey. Welcome. And thank you for accepting to being here today.
And thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure.
So we're going to get started by talking about you. And what I would like to know is how did you become a naturopath and what has been your journey?
A relatively short journey in becoming a naturopath because I decided about 4 years ago that this was what I wanted to do. I was in a job that I actually loved at the time, but I woke up one morning, I said, no, this is not what I want to do anymore. I need to do something that is more in tune with my own values and with what I actually want to do with what is left of my life for the future. But in terms of the actual naturopathy and its principles, I think I've had those in me most of my life. Started really when my son was young. He was 2 years old, so he's now 34, so we're going back 32 years. And he was very, very sick. He had asthma and eczema. And going to the doctor in the UK, the only solution they seemed to be able to give me was give him lots of antibiotics, put him in hospital. They really had no answer for me, except that he had severe case of asthma and eczema. And at the time, I was very lucky to meet a homeopath who was very, very supportive. And we worked together to help Max, who was my son, to work himself, work his body. And this is what I found very interesting at the time, to try and diminish the effects of asthma and eczema. If you saw him now, he's a very tall, strong, sporty young man. But as a young man, when I was told when he was 2 that actually he'd spend most of his life in hospital, I found that very difficult to accept. So, yes, so for the 30 years, that was what I was very interested in. With the children, we had a very healthy lifestyle. I did all the cooking. We ate very healthily. The children were rarely sick. But it wasn't until myself, I was working very, very hard, that I realized actually something was taking toll on my own body. And that was it. 4 years ago, I just literally woke up one morning and said, no, I need to do something else that is more in tune with my own values. And so I embarked on studying to be a naturopath, which I think now, if I really thought about it and really understood what was involved, I may have thought a little bit longer. It's a very intensive training to be a naturopath. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to understand. And to be honest, I don't think I'll ever finish studying. I'm always learning at the moment, even after I've got the official piece of paper. So yes, so here I am. I have my own practice. And I'm working with people and I'm doing something that I absolutely love. Absolutely love. I feel like a different person, actually.
Like a second life.
I mean, it is like a second life. And I feel like I've been really lucky to have the opportunity. Really, really lucky. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So the word itself, naturopathy, originates from natura, which is a Latin root for birth, mm-hmm. and pathos, which is a Greek root for suffering. So this suggests natural healing. What is the frame around naturopathy?
You know, that's a really excellent question, because I think sometimes even naturopaths themselves, we are always looking for a definition that makes sense to people, because it's explained in many different ways. And I've come up with my own explanation, which I use with my own clients in my practice. And the natural way, in fact, is about our bodies. It's the natural healing of our bodies. Our body is an incredible machine. The more I learn about it, the more I think it's the most incredible invention, however we came from, that was ever on Earth. And it has its own functions, its own mechanisms to absorb everything we need, to eliminate what we don't need, and to keep us moving forward. And for me, that's the natural healing. The body has the ability to heal itself. The problem today is that the way we treat our bodies, with the food that we eat, the way we live our lives, is our bodies struggle to function naturally. The natural mechanisms of absorbing the vitamins and minerals that we need and eliminating the toxins that accumulate within our bodies are struggling. And so as a naturopath, my role is to help that person, and everybody is different, and help that person's body get back to the natural way of healing. And I have all the plants, and we have the food, and we have physical activity. We also have what's very important is the mind, all our emotions. And all of that plays an important part in the way the body works. And I see my role as a naturopath as working, as I said, with the individual and finding for that individual what needs to be, what part of the body needs helping in order for it to function and heal itself. That's my understanding, and that's my interpretation, the way I work, of this path to natural healing. It's not that I'm saying that a plant will heal you, but the plant will give you whatever is necessary, be it plants, be it minerals, be it energy. It will help your body then revert back to its natural healing healing abilities. Does that make sense? Yeah, because that's how I explain it. And not everybody interprets it that way. A naturopathy, it's important that we will have our own way of working, but that's how we work. Yes.
Okay. No, it's very clear. And so we are talking about, like, you know, like the body, and then going back to like a kind of like natural function. Okay.
Yes.
So spring is around the corner, and we cannot ignore it, because like everything is blooming around us now. So do you think this renewal period is true for human as well?
Spring is an incredibly important time in naturopathy, because for us, it's the time when we should, I'll explain why, but we should be coming out of like a hibernation into the spring, new beginnings, transformation, everything you want to associate with spring. And it's a time for us to, I don't really like the word detox, but it's understandable when people say detox. It's a way of detoxing, clearing the body of the toxins that have accumulated. Because spring is the best time to do this. Our bodies are ready, if as we're following the cycles of the year and the cycles of the seasons, our bodies are ready to naturally detox. This said, and as I said before, the way we've treated our bodies and the way we've treated our bodies over winter None of us have hibernated. None of us have slowed down. We've all still gone 100 miles an hour, when really the natural state of the body is to slow down, relax, curl up, take it easy. So naturally the body needs help. And so that's where spring, and that's where spring is so, so important for us. I'm particularly busy at the moment because everybody's waking up like, oh, I need my spring detox. I think I need to go and talk to a naturopath. But that's how we see spring, not so much as a rebirth or regeneration, but is preparing the body for the next season. Because let's face it, we have treated it pretty badly in the season before. So we need to do something about that, particularly after Christmas and everything else. We need to do something about the fact we haven't followed the seasons. It's not practical anymore anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, you were talking about like, you know, we always like rush up and we have things to do and all the time. So like if we stop for a moment and pay attention to our body, what are the signs that the body is telling like, hey, I need a detox, or this is what I need? Like how can we recognize that?
Everybody's different. I'll probably say this 100 times during the podcast. Everybody is different. And there are lots of different signs. First signs is tiredness. People coming out of winter say, I am so tired. One is tiredness. Second is your skin. If your skin is feeling very dry, very flaky, if you think, oh, in the morning I've a few more wrinkles than I used to have, it's not necessarily always just because I'm getting older, but it's the skin is drying out. Hair feels brittle, falling out. Next time you wash your hair, is there a lot of more hair in the shower than normal? Stomach, digestion, a lot of gas, a lot of bloating. Any one of those can be a sign that you need detox. Not sleeping very well, more irritable than usual, snapping at your husband, snapping at your partner. All of those are signs that your body is, as we say, out of balance and a detox. And depending on the sign, we're depending on the type of detox that I would recommend. For every person that comes into my practice, there is as many different detox programs that go out. There's not one standard detox, despite what you read on the internet and everywhere else. It's all very, very different. It is different.
Okay. So can you give me, for example, and just an example, like, for example, let's say that I'm pretty cranky. You know, I have like sleeping issues and things like that. So what kind of detox would you recommend?
Okay, so if you come to me and you say, right, I'm really cranky, I've got sleeping issues, my first question will be, and your digestion, because there's an immediate link between what happens down here and up here. So if your digestion is poor, it will immediately affect your mind, your processes. There's lots of research at the moment about the microbiome and the microbiota and how that's affecting the way we feel. If the digestion's okay, I will then ask you about how you relax. I will ask you what you do during the day to give yourself 5 minutes. And most women say, ooh, and really have to think about that one. So it's trying to find the time, because there's a detox of the body, but it's also a detox of the mind. If it's digestion, if people are having headaches, I may be looking at a detox of the liver. I mean, this sounds a bit more dramatic than it is, but there are a number of different plants that you can drink in a tisane to clear the liver. If it's stress and anxiety, I often start talking about breathing activities and breathing exercises. Not necessarily hour-long of meditation, but 5 minutes, three times a day, breathe, give yourself a moment, just to bring the stress down. So it depends why you're cranky and anxious and you're not sleeping well. So it all depends. In naturopathy, we are always talking about looking for the cause. And then when you found the cause, what is the cause of the cause? It's like opening up the layers of an onion and trying to find out right down in the middle what is really causing the symptoms and the body imbalance.
Okay. And Deborah, is there like any other period during the year where we really need to pay attention to?
Another key time for us is just before we go into winter, around autumn time, and that's to prepare ourselves for winter. So there's still a detox element, because obviously throughout the summer, if we're not necessarily paying attention to what we're doing, there's still stress. Just because the sun's out, there's still stress and anxiety. There's still that element, but there's also the preparation for winter and our immune systems. The first thing I talk to most people about is vitamin D, about supplementing with vitamin D. Sadly, most of us do not get enough vitamin D, even if we live like I do in the south of France. We cover up, we don't spend enough time outside. And look at the food intake again to ensure that all the vitamins and minerals are being covered. So that's a key point for us, is to talk about preparation for winter. Naturopathy in its purest sense is actually all about prevention rather than curative. So I'm there to prevent. Into winter, around December time, is then preparation for those who suffer with allergies. And the preparation for the allergies is usually mid-December. And there are certain things to put in place before the allergy season comes on. So it's all about prevention. There are key points during the year that we look at.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question, because I used to live in Singapore and a lot of my audience is based in Singapore. So when the weather doesn't have like a lot of other season, so does that change like the visit to the naturopath?
You mean there's the seasons, there's not a clear difference between the seasons?
No, it's very humid. It's slightly, but not like we have like winter, summer. So in this case, what the people over there?
But there would still be a period though where the plants are beginning to appear.
This is like the buds.
Okay. The sign of spring is as the buds are starting to appear and the flowers and the trees are starting to become in bloom. That's the key point, because that's nature waking up. And then the opposite would be when the leaves start falling off the trees, some of the plants start dying off for the winter. That's our key sign. Nature is now going to sleep. We're looking at nature to sleep, not necessarily what's written in our calendars. At the moment, spring has come here already. With the climate change, we can't work on calendars anymore. Spring really isn't for another couple of weeks, but down in the south of France, we've had spring since mid-February.
I see.
So, but this confuses the body as well, because we also work on cycles. But that's your starting point. Yeah. As soon as I see the mimosa, that's when I know spring's on its way down here.
Okay. So everybody need to look outside what's going on outside, and this is what to follow inside.
That is such an important point, because we need to watch nature. Nature tells us, nature's there to give us the signs of where we are, what we should be doing. But we've lost that. We've lost that habit. We've lost that understanding completely. And we're so far away from it at the moment. And for me, that's at the heart of everything that's going on. We're so far away of nature.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. So teaching is a very strong trait in your practice. And first of all, because it's one of the principles of naturopathy.
Yes.
So it's a way to empower the client to make their own health decision. And it's also because your professional background is in education. So tell me, how does it translate in your community?
Mm-hmm. You're quite right. I'm a qualified teacher. I started my career many years ago as a teacher and worked in education for many, many years. And I've realized that I'm at my happiest usually when I am teaching, or I'm sharing my knowledge and I'm working with people. And that was one of the key things that I liked and drew me to naturopathy, because the key role is for us to educate. The idea is that when somebody comes to me, I explain as much as I can in terms that are easily understandable, so that they then become responsible themselves. They understand why I've suggested something and they understand what's happening. So in my own community, it starts in the consultation, the teaching, the explaining. It carries on over into the recommendations, because after the consultation, I write up my recommendations in 2, 3, or 4 pages, depending on what the consultation and the focus was. So that's in this consultation practice. I also run workshops. I run workshops in French and in English, and I've been running them usually in cafes at the moment, which is wonderful. So it's always around tea and cake, I'm running some workshops around brunch on Saturday mornings. So it's Saturday morning brunch. So there's an hour talking on a subject of naturopathy. And then we have brunch together. And I've also set up a group called Everyday Naturopathy on Facebook. It's a private group and it's in French and English. The idea is that we exchange practical ways that we can introduce the principles into the naturopathic principles into our life. My strong belief is that I want to demystify this naturopathy as well. I want to demystify that it should be complicated. It's something that we can't do. It's only something that other people can do. It's as basic as drinking water, moving, simple plants we find in the garden. So that, I mean, of course, I'd like people to come to consultation if it gets complicated. But on a daily basis, there's so many things we can do, which go a long way to keeping us healthy. So, but that's my I think that's really my, in French, they say, heads on dead. That's what I want to do. I want people to understand what excites me and it gets them excited and then they're healthier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you were talking about like one piece of like as part of like educating people is that, yes, you write your recommendation and it's like a very detailed. So during my consultation with you, we covered food, physical activities, emotional well-being. And as a matter of fact, I came for a very specific issue and we uncover other concerns and we address them. Is it something you often, like something that often happened during the consultation?
Very, very often. Very, very often. Because like you said, people will come into the consultation with what I would call a symptom and say, well, you know, this is what is wrong with me, because this is the way we talk to our doctors. We go in with a symptom and the doctor treats a symptom. But in naturopathy, I'm asking lots and lots and lots of questions to find out, well, why is this symptom, which essentially is the body telling us something's wrong or something's not right, something is out of balance. What is this showing me? What part of the body do I need to go further down to find out what is the cause of this? I think because in with the doctors, with no criticism, it's the training, it's their approach, but they expect us to be to self-diagnose, really. So when we walk in and say, I have a headache, that's what they treat. But when somebody comes in and says they have a headache, for me, that can be 5, 6, 7 different pathways that I need to explore to find out why there's that headache. It's not as simple as saying, well, that's the headache. And that's what I'm going to give you.
Mm.
So people are often surprised that after an hour and a half, right, that wasn't what I expected. There's something else I need to do here first before addressing something else. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. And so what we talked about, like, you know, what you are doing at the moment, how do you educate people? Tell me what is what's next for you?
Next, I have been focused very much on the current area where I live in Montpellier, around the sort of in the south of France, with my practice and with the workshops. I work a lot with the English speaking community down here who speak French or perhaps don't speak as French as well as they could, but feel much more comfortable talking about their health in English. Mm. Then realizing that, well, the English speaking community is not just in and around Montpellier. So I've started giving consultations online and I've also started doing 15, 20 minute discovery calls for people, particularly online outside the area, who haven't got a chance to meet me and would rather just talk. So this week I've done calls with Martinique and Dubai. So I feel like I've become really international. It's a different approach. It's different working online, but I worked in my previous life, as I call it, I worked online a lot and I learned how to develop a rapport with somebody through the video. So I'm hoping it can work as well for people online as it does coming face to face in the cabinet, in the practice. And then I suppose the next step would be to work with companies. There's so much stress. People are so unhappy in their jobs at the moment. There's so much work that could be done there. But that's a challenge in itself. Getting into the companies, getting the companies to recognize how important it is ensuring that people have the time off so they can come along to the workshops. So I think I'm going to need an extra dose of energy for that one to get that.
I have just a few more questions for you, and we were talking about that like just now. So often people confuse like a naturopath and a general doctor, as you say, like, you know, they come, they want to, they have an issue, they want to get it done, get it fixed very quickly. So this is the expectation. So tell me, what is the difference between being a naturopath and being like a family doctor?
Yeah. I mean, and that is, many people come into the a naturopathic practice with the expectation that when they leave that consultation, they have the answer and everything will be fixed. Unfortunately, a lot of people do come to naturopath as a last resort. They've tried everything else with the doctors, and somebody said, well, you know, do something natural, it will help you. What people don't realize is just how much responsibility is then passed back to them after they've seen the naturopath. I can only do so much. I can only recommend so much. But essentially, my recommendations are a lot about changing your lifestyle, changing what you eat, changing your habits. And human beings are creatures of habits. It's very difficult to change, even when we know it's good for our health. And not so much because I do explain up front quite a lot to people, but I do have occasionally people who I can see the disappointment in their face after this hour and a half of questioning and discussion and exchange, and I haven't given them the plants or the essential oil or the miracle cure that is going to help them. But instead, I've told them they've got to change what they eat for breakfast, or I tell them that they actually need to move a little bit more or do some breathing. And that I think they find quite difficult. And the fact is, a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. For most people, that change could take 6 months, 12 months, which can be difficult to explain for people to that, because we live in a world where we want things now. We want things to happen quickly. There's nothing in naturopathy that's going to change overnight. If people put their minds to it, it's fine. They work with it, but it does take a lot of self-investment and time as well to put everything in place.
And I think it's like the thing with prescription and drugs and medicine.
Yes.
Is that the modern medicine, and that's how they kind of like trained us.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like to how to react. We get things done quickly. They don't have time to spend on us, not really. Yeah. They just like get it fixed and that's it.
Yeah. No, and that's what I said earlier. I mean, I always use the sort of analogy of an onion with lots of the onion that's got lots and lots of different layers. The doctor really only has time and the training and the approach they take to treat the outer layer. But only treating the outer layer means actually you're probably going to go back again, or something else is going to happen, because depending on the drug, there's side effects. Whereas in naturopathy, I'm trying to unpeel all the layers to see what's happening right in the middle, to see if I can get to the core of something so that you don't have to come back. I mean, again, that takes longer than a lot of people anticipate. But that single drug, and I know from experience, both my family and professionally, that single drug can actually have all sorts of knock-on effects as well. You take something, I don't know, you take a lot of antibiotics, it really doesn't do your liver any good. So then you take something for your liver, and then that's not going to do you any good because that hits the intestine, and then you become constipated. And it's a vicious circle. You're constantly taking different drugs in the end to counteract the side effects from a previous drug. They just go round and round and round.
Okay, thank you so much for that. My last question that I have for you, and it's like a general question, but I love to ask this question to all my guests because I found it very interesting and surprising and everything. What is your daily practice? Do you have one, and what is it?
My daily practice. I'm somebody who wakes up relatively early, and on waking up, and I this isn't every day because I said no naturopath's perfect, but on waking up, the first thing I like to do is do some breathing practice. I like to breathe for 5 minutes just to set my day off. I'll drink a lot of water. And I've got into the habit of not having my breakfast straight away. My own digestion, this is personal to me, but I find that my digestion is very slow. And it's better for me to wait at least an hour to 2 hours before, after waking up, before eating. In the summer, and this is it this year, I shouldn't really say only in the summer, but as soon as the weather gets nice, I love to go into the garden to do some yoga. I confess in winter, I don't do it as much because I don't like doing yoga inside. So if I can't fall outside in my pajamas, I confess I don't do that as regularly as I should. But I do aim to be outside for at least an hour a day, no matter what the weather. That's become very, very important for me. Whether it's in my garden, whether it's walking, whether it's doing sport. But if I don't have that, I know that I don't feel right. I haven't got the balance. So that's what I do every day to get me started. I try to breathe at lunchtime, but I certainly breathe every night as well. Just the 5 minutes to bring everything down, clear my mind. My mobile phone is hidden from 9 o'clock in the evening. No looking at my mobile phone. And it's been great because actually I read a lot more books than I used to. So I'm a lot more reading than I used to. It used to be a lot of time on my phone, but now it's a lot more reading. So those are the key things that I try to do every day.
It's wonderful. I love it. And, you know, I especially, like you say, I'm not perfect. And sometimes I think that, oh, these people, they are so perfect, but I'm taking notes. But sometimes I have guessing like, oh, I have no practice. And this is really to relate to people. Okay, this is what you are doing. But it's not perfect, you know?
No.
Like, okay. But I think he always gives some ideas, some, you know, inspiration for other people that you shared something about yourself, you know, that you do every day. So this is really nice. Deborah, thank you so much for your time, for this lovely chat. And I will share all the resources, the information about you, of course, in the notes, the interview notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can learn more about Deborah on Instagram at Deborah Naturopath, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Deborah Marsh, and on our website www.deborahnaturopath.com. If you didn't have time to write everything down, or if you have doubts about the spelling, no worries. All the links are listed in the show notes. If you are curious about the Ujivati community, check out our website at www.ujivati.com. Thank you so much to all our listeners, and see you very soon for more on healing, self-love, and your personal journey.
Thank you for listening and for taking time for yourself. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, share this episode with others on social media, or leave a rating and a review. To catch the latest from Ujivati, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Ujivati. Thanks again, and see you on the next episode.